Tonight, I'd like to dedicate the Zecher Nishmas Rabbi Yankel Bohm, Zichrono Bracha. We're learning about Ehrlichkeit, and he think he was a prototype of Ehrlicher Mensch, Ehrlicher Yid. This one story they said over by Levaya, for anyone that wasn't there, was when he had a Jack's, if anyone still remembers Jack's store. It was like someone asked if he could have a little stand outside selling some ice pops or something, snow cones or something. I said, why, you want to make a parnassa? Sure. Not only did he give him permission to do that, but then he took all the machines and put them onto an extension cord and put it into his electric in his store. And then he told his workers to clean out all the ices and frozen stuff, take it, give it to that guy, let him sell it outside. We're not going to sell it this summer. He's going to sell all the frozen stuff outside today. This is the summer. Just helping another kid make parnassa, not trying to get ahead and cut someone else off. That's an Ehrlicher Yid.
That was Rabbi Peretz Dinowitz.
We saw the Chazon Ish said that Kama Kedusha Maisa Ba'ilam to see someone helping out his new upstart competitor and going out and helping him. Maisa Kedusha Ba'ilam. That's an Ehrlicher Mensch. So this year is dedicated to the Zecher Nishmasai. Okay, we have covered somewhat discussion on Shitas Rashi and Shitas Rambam, each respectively, in the halachis of the different sayings and laws of sayings that applied. We also discovered last week that the mitzvah b'yom titi and scharoi, the issur of isn't only a matter of the ben chavera of it, but it's a mitzvah ben al-mokim. And as long as it's not a gezel, that you're not withholding it permanently, which was gezel and Eishek, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah ben al-mokim. The Chofetz Chaim brought this out. I'm trying to remember myself as I'm speaking. From the halacha that we pass in like Rav against Shmuel on this because not Dini Mamre says Dine Isser. And therefore when there's Machlos Rav and Shmuel about night and day, we pass in Rov Rishonim and Poskim, Paskin like Rav, because it says this is a matter of Isser, not a matter of Mamin, a matter of Chiyuv to pay him. I'm going to pay him eventually anyway, but it's a matter of an Isser of Mitzvah, which is Ben Lamakim. Based on that, he says, therefore, that it doesn't carry over Birusha to the sons if either the Poyel or the Balabayas would die, a Chov carries over. But this mitzvah Yom Tid and Schar would not carry over, and if they didn't pay on the right that day, they would not be over because this is a matter of a mitzvah, not a matter of a din mamet. And the mitzvah of it is to learn to be an Ehrlicher Yid. You have a Christ for someone else. Keep your achrayus to be a bala achrayus, to be a bala emes, to be a bala emuna. Nesata zata b'emuna is the first question they ask you of those six faithful questions. Nesata zata b'emuna, did you handle erlich? And that is what this is all about.
Why doesn't the achrayus pass down?
Like the chov mom, and you'll owe. So you have to pay, but you pay whatever you pay. You'll do that.
A regular chay doesn't have that time on it. This
right.
Guy does have that time on it. The
achrayus
of the regular
chayv
is that I owe money.
Right.
So that
is carried over, and the Yorshim will owe Yorshim money. But as far as the mitzvah goes, the mitzvah doesn't apply to other children. For a person has a mitzvah, a child doesn't have that mitzvah. The mitzvah is his own avoda. Are there any more sheets over there behind you over there? Joel, you got them?
Yes.
Okay. So we're just recapping. First of all, I dedicated this year the Zecher Nishmas Rabbi Yankel Bohm. We spoke about him. Ehrlicher Mensch. And second of all, we spoke about that the last couple of weeks we discussed Rashi and Rambam's respective shittas as far as these different Isurim goes. According to Rashi, each one is mutually exclusive days and nights, and according to Rambam, they're all together. We described the Mitzvah Seh, Mitzvah Leizah Seh. We also discussed the Chiddush of the Avos Chesed, the Chavos Chaim, that this isn't like a Chov Mamayin and that you're bemazing someone else if you pay him late. But it's a mitzvah ben lamakim that you have to be erlich, you have to be honest and keep your commitments, and therefore that's only on the original balabais and the original Payal, if either of them would die on that day, the Yorshim would not have this mitzvah, they just have the chiyuv to pay. It's a chov mamon. But these mitzvahs are of being erlich yidden. So before we go into more of the lachas of it, on the sheet I gave out tonight, page 4 and 5, the bottom of the page is the number of the page. On page 4, there's a number of divrei hiseris that the Chafetz Chaim brings in his hakdama to these prakim. He has two prakim on the halachis of pulas achir, paying workers properly, in his sefer Avos Chesed, Perek Tes and Perek Yud. And before that, he has hakdama. And the hakdama, he brings some shtarka divrei musar, which we've referenced and referred to beforehand. But right now, I'd like to share it with you inside before we go back to some more of the halachic discussions. Firstly, there's Pesukim in Molachi, which we lay, if I'm not mistaken, on Shabbos HaGadol. Hinani Shaleach Malachi Ufana Derech Lefanai. This is what we're waiting for anxiously. It's a piece of the Yeshua. The Kadosh Baruch is going to finally send the Gula. Upisam Yavid El Hechalo Ha'adain. And finally, Pisam, suddenly, in the last moment when no one's expecting, the Kadosh Baruch comes back into the base of Migdash and rebuilds it. Asher Atem of Aksham, that which we're waiting and anxiously and wanting. Umalach Abrisa She'atem Chafetzim, that which we want so long, all through all these years, centuries. Hine Ba, it's going to come. Amar Hashem Tzvakis. And what's going to happen when that Gael comes? When the Kadosh Baruch comes back. Umimachalkas Yom Ba'o. Who could imagine the enormity of that day and the gravity of that day? Umi Ha'amid Baharoz, who's going to be able to be Aymed, be able to stand to that revelation that Kadosh Baruch is going to make. Kiyuka Eish Mitzarefu Kabris Mechabsim, Kuboris Mechabsim. It's going to be like fire that smelts and purifies, and like Boris, like a cleaning agent, like soap, that's going to scrub off all the schmutz. And that means we have a lot of cleaning up to do. Clean up, all right. But Yeshu Mitzarev Matayar Kesef, like a silversmith smelts the impurities and dirt and debris from out of the good silver. V'tiyaris b'nei Levi, v'zaka gosam is going to go through the yichus, make sure all the kohanim and the levim are 100% thoroughbred erlech yichus. V'gez v'hoi l'shem v'gishim mincha tztaka. V'arba l'shem mincha tzyud v'shlan gimme yolo v'shon and yos, we say that every day at davening. And then, listen to this, v'karavti aleichem l'mishpat. Gosh Baruch is going to go gather everyone to close together, and it's going to start now being a dayan, and it's going to start judging. But Yizeh Eidma Ma'irah Mechashvim Menafim Mishpoyim Mishaker. Gosh Baruch is not going to need to have any other subpoenas for witnesses to come forward. Gosh Baruch sees all, knows all, records all, remembers all, and we'll have it all there right on the table in front of us. So here, Gosh Baruch Kvayoch himself will be then the aid Ma'irah, quick to be able to relay any testimony that's necessary against people that are mechashvim or menafim or nishpoyim or sheker uva oshkis or skokher. This is on the top priority list, together with the menafim baliznus, mechashvim and magicians that lead people astray. It's going to be the oshkis or skokher, people that don't pay their workers, avon aman of yasam, poor people that work for them and they don't get their wages. Mate ger and abuse the gerim below yiruni, which evidences that demonstrates the lack of yirushmayim. Now when I come and I'm going to be there, I'm going to give a very strong accounting on this. So these are on the high list of what a Kadosh Baruch is going to be exacting about is people that are oskei shkar sachir. That's with the way that we learned a long time ago when we were learning about mechusar aman in one of the first yurim. Gemara in Bava Tziyah, Daf Mem Tes, brings down the pasuk that Sheiris Yisrael Yasu Avla Lo Yadav Rechazov. The Sheiris Yisrael, those are going to be the remnants that are going to remain and going to survive when the Golos is over. When they stand there in time of Gula, it's going to be Lo Yadav Rechazov. We're talking about the people that are going to be Erlich Yidden. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Al Bali Amuna, to be his honor guard. At that time, not people that are not Erlich. And then the Chofetz Chaim brings down a Zayir that I'm telling you is through the roof. And I can't tell you, I know how to understand what Zayir says, but Zayir, I want to tell you, has Sod and Kabbalah that's way over our heads. It's a Rizal kind of Torah. But Zayir also has a good portion of it, which is just Divrei Musar, which like the Chavos Chaim and many Sfarim bring him constantly in their Shmiras HaLashon. Every other paragraph he brings a piece from different Zayir or Nevi Shechaim and other Sfarim like that. And then there's Midrashim, like any other Medrash of Chazal. There's a lot of Midrashim in there. And then there's a Kabbalah, which is over our heads. So this over here is a little bit of a mix. It's probably talking about things between the lines or more than that, that's above our heads. But even so, the Chavos Chaim brings it down, then it's quite frightening. Well, the Pasuk says, let's read the words, hey, look at the words of Zayir. Pasuk, this is Rabbi Lazar. The story over there starts out that Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yezid, and Rabbi Chacham were traveling along. They got to took a break in their travel. They sat by a river, they were eating lunch, whatever. They said, no, Rabbi Lazar says, we can't just sit over here. Everyone has to say over to our Torah. Everyone had to say over to Dorah Chadar so the other people didn't hear. So each one started saying, each one said their drasha. So Rabbi Lazar said this, Lo Sasha gets Riacha, Lo Sigzol, Lo Solom Palasuch Asach Yidchad Baiker. These are psukim that we've been learning right now so far in a halacha context about not withholding timely payment. But listen to how the drash of it, up the remez of it. It's not so. This is remez. Shat remez drusin. So this is remez. How it darshens. Lo solom pulu socher amai elam mikra ache ishtam. But there's another puzzle that says they'll sib biyom atitin scharo. Pay him on his right time. Loi savai alav hashemesh. So we always understood simple taish means. Pay him during the daytime before the sun set. The sun shouldn't set while the money is still sitting in your drawer waiting to be paid. Make sure you pay him on time. Who knows he has not show. He's depending on this, and you have to make sure he goes home with his money. The Zayir Taisha means, is die here, be Zayir, be careful. The lo tiskanesh, that the balabayas shouldn't be taken away from this world. Beginoi, because of him, me'alma, from this world. So lo savo lo Hashemesh, don't because of a love, because of him, lo savo Hashemesh, the person's sun shouldn't set. His life shouldn't be ended. Ad lo mati zimdach liskansha, before it's really the proper time for this person to pass away. But make sure you pay him on time, because otherwise, lo savo Allah, because of him, it shouldn't be a be Hashemesh of this person. Gemad Adomar, as the Pasuk says in Koheles, the psukim at the end of Koheles is talking about that metaphor, the sunning of, setting of the sun is referring to the ending of a person's lifetime. From here we learn another thing. The man da ashlam the nafsha de maskena, a person that does pay the nefesh of the poor, he does pay him. In other words, miklal lava da shemeya hain, and from the negative you can understand the converse, the other side of the coin. If not holding, withholding payment and not paying payment timely, could Chas V'Shalom make the person's son set early, then on the opposite side, paying workers properly, timely, making sure we do pay, manda ashlam l'nafsha maskin, a person that does pay the worker that's a poor person, afilu demata yomi l'stalka mi'alma, even when his time does come to pass from this world, could you brichu ashlam l'nafsha? Kadosh Baruch will add more life onto him. We go over like Chayin Yosir, and he'll give him an extension, give him an extra, whatever amount of time Kadosh Baruch sees fit to give him. So just like on the Mita Tovas Meruvim to Mita Pranius, the positive is better than always than the negative. And if on the negative side, by not paying, it could cause a shortening, then certainly on the positive side, it could cause longevity. So what would a person not do in this world to be able to get an extension, whatever my life is supposed to be, 67, 80, 90 years, whatever it might be. You'll do something, which you have to do anyway. You have to pay him anyway. So pay him on time, and that way you'll get yourself an extension at the end of your life of an extra amount of time. Might be seconds, might be days, might be years, might be decades. Who knows what it is, but sure worth it. But mamash the chaim rahadavar, the shem yirachem, lo sabo lo b'shemesh, lo solam pulasachar, takazi. Like in Bible, we always say Toshma, come here. In Zayir, it always says Tachazi, come see. Difference you have to think about. Manda notel agar de maskena, person that takes away the pay of the poor worker and not paying him, kila notel navshe uda anshe navshe, uda anshe vese. It's like taking away from the balabayas his own a life of himself and of his family members. Hu azir nafshayhu, he's diminishing the life and the livelihood of the family of the dependents of this poor worker. Kujibrichu azir yomoi, Kadosh Baruch will therefore decrease, minimize his days of the balabayas. Bi azir nafshayhu hu alma, and decreases whatever days it means, whatever in the world to come. I'm skipping just the underlying part. Afilu is gazir alohu barnash, even if there was a gzeir on this person, kama yomin, many days, many long years, but kama tov, many good things that should, but you know, a bracha should occur to him, kulan misakir minei, all of that could be lost from him. Because Baruch already had on schedule last Rosh Hashanah all kinds of wonderful brachis and gzeiros tovos and yeshuas and atzlachis and nachas and aisher and nechayim and refuahs and wonderful things. And that all could be lost because he didn't pay a worker on time. Hashem Yishmarinu. Well, Mustalkim and they all we take away from him. When he goes up, he might find that some of the doors and gates blocked and he won't be able to, Hashem Yishmarinu, to go up. Rabbi Abba, Rachmana l'shazvan, Kadosh Baruch Hu should save us. Minayhu, from being in that kind of group of people. Uba elbanayhu, and from their shame, that they're going to be ashamed that they can't even go upstairs. They can't even go upstairs, and that's from not paying people on time. Hashem Yishmarenu. So what's the pshat on this? Why is this? I mean, there's lots of errors in the Torah. Doesn't say this about someone that steals. Doesn't say this about someone that kills. And we would certainly think that Ritzicha is 1,000 times worse than not paying your workers. So I was thinking, the pshat is, I think I mentioned the basic concept some earlier time, that says in Pirkei Avos a couple times over, that Neman Bal Malachta L'Shalem Skarcha, that we're all a payol working for the big boss, Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we work in this lifetime, and we're in this world, and we want to get our schar in Olam Haba. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you work for me, and you want to get paid. Well, those work for you. Did they get paid? If Mida Kedeged Mida. And if a person doesn't pay those that work for him, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I don't know if I have to pay you for you work for me. So then the Gantz Olam Haba from a whole lifetime of Mesiris Nefesh, Patera, Vaita, Mitzvah, Yisvamish, Kedusha, Allah Godazach, and all those Nisyanas, all those Mechamos Yetzer, gives me a lot of reason to get paid. Yeah, but your workers also have a good reason to get paid. You don't pay your workers, you know. It jeopardizes the entire program. that's really, really shaking up to the core. So that's Dr. Dibri Musser to know this is not something to be make alone. And finally, at the end, he brings down a Gemara on Sukkah. Just because the Chavos Chaim brings in, let's just go read it again quickly. Amarav b'shvil arba dvarim nichsei balabatim yotzim l'timoyan. Because of four aveiros, Kadosh Baruch Hu brings it about that we have recessions and downturns in the economy and other real estate and other whatever kinds of people's properties and investments start turning south. The reason for that is not economic and social and political and all the other ways of means that comes about. But why does Kadosh Baruch Hu make all those funny things happen? It's because of this. Alkov shi'ischar socher, v'al oshki ischar socher. And Rashi tells us the difference between them. Kov shi'ischar socher, it means shemadcheyu b'leich v'shov, that he's just delaying and postponing. He says, come back another time, I'm too busy, maybe next week. Keep on pushing him off. And Oshkis Arsach here, Legamri Gezoskaro, completely holding it back and not going to pay at all, denying it, arguing with him, I'm not going to pay you, or slashing it, not paying him completely, that those things cause a person to lose. Now we're just talking about in a person's financial situation, which we all work very hard and we try to stabilize our family situation, etc., want to support our dependents. And Hashem Yishmarenu, this is not something to take lightly. Okay, I count the Dibri Musar. There's plenty of what to think about that, and I'll let you. Tan lechacham v'yosef lechach. Page 5. The Avos Chesed after he does his the introduction is Diri Musar, then he gets straight down into halacha. First of all, he says that this, by the way, this is still in the Akdama, he says that this is not only if you don't pay him at all or you delay paying him his whole pay, but even if you only withholding partial pay and you pay him, you know, 90% of it, but I don't want to pay you the rest, even a pruta, then that's still a klevis shkar socher. He makes a point of saying, though, that there's a chiyuv to pay every penny. And if you hold back a pruta, and according to some shitas, even a parashah or pruta, your person overall is lavim. But on the other hand, what happens if a person only has half the pay? I owe you $300 for your work, and I already have only have $100 or $200. I don't have it all. So should I say it's all or nothing? And since I can't pay you the whole amount there, just pay you $100 or $200, I won't have end up fulfilling the mitzvah. So there's no mitzvah put on, you know, one tzitzis if you don't have all four tzitzis, or a lulav if you don't have an esrig. So if I don't have the whole payment, maybe I shouldn't have to pay you anything at all. So he says, no, kol pruta pruta zechiyav of its own, and therefore, if you have half the pay, you have to pay him the half the pay, and more than that, you're not going to be chiyav to. We'll see that in a moment, that you're not chiyav to that which you don't have. But that which you do have, and to hold back even any amount of that, goes into everything that we just read on page 4, all those very serious consequences. Because of that, it's very important to have a clear price for what a job is. And the only way you can really do that is you have to have a quote beforehand, or some way that it's going to be established what the price is. If I tell you beforehand, make an estimate, unless you find something more, then you'll have to call me up and say that there's more work over here in this job, whatever it might be. But you give me an estimate beforehand, or you tell me what your hourly rate is, or whatever way you calculate the price. So then I know what it is. And then you would tell me afterwards it was 3 hours, or you tell me that I did the job and we had quoted the price is going to be a certain amount, that's what I pay you. But if you don't give me, I'll do it, we'll talk about it afterwards. You know, we're from a yidden, we could trust each other. So it's true, I'm not going to run away, you're not going to run away, but what's the price? Well, the work all of a sudden gives you a big bill and you go through the roof and you say, what? I don't think there's anybody like that, right? So then what's the right price? So if we didn't set it up in advance, then we don't have a right price. And then the law is going to be, you go according to the pachas shebish, according to the price in the shuk. And I have to just tell you, it's very, very difficult, close to impossible, to really find out what the price in the shuk is. Because you have to get a comparable one. There's many electricians out there, or there's many whatever kind of work that you want to do. But who's really going to be in the same category as me? Nah, not him. He's a completely different. I'm a this and I'm a that. Who's going to be the same type of skill, the same kind of experience, the same value to my service? It's really hard to really measure that and get a, because there's always going to be a range. And if I don't get the right way, then I'm underpaying him. Then I'm still have all these yisurim. So the only way that I can really be sure I'm doing it right is tell me beforehand. Babysitter comes over, we'll talk about it beforehand. I charge $6 an hour. So I can't pay $5.50 an hour, or whatever the going rate is.
The person who did the work is an electrician, and he has his going rate from his job history. Why don't you just go by his? He's the one who did the work, go by his history. I
mean, that's fine. Was, if you're willing to pay him whatever he gives you an invoice afterwards.
Why does it have to do with the, why does it have to do with the felt? Maybe he's a mid-range electrician.
If he doesn't, if he didn't quote me a price beforehand, say, I charge $150 an hour, right? And I always think it's going to be $60, $70, $80 an hour, right? It's not, I always charge $100 an hour. I'm commercial, I'm experienced, I'm a master, right? I charge $100. So I said, I never would agree to that, right? So I'll give you $100. That's my top price. Take it or leave it. So what's he supposed to do now? He says he's not going to take me to court and spend more than that in the legal fees. It's not worth it. So he says he'll take, for 2 hours, he'll take now $200. But really, I was $300. So, unless you're willing to just do whatever he says afterwards, if you want to have any kind of give and take, it has to be beforehand. Then I know, you quote me this price. I said, no, you haggle whatever you want to haggle, that's fine. I say, okay, I'll offer you this amount. We make it up. Whatever we make up, then that's the price that we agreed to. But otherwise, he's going to give you an invoice. You can say, I didn't agree to that. Okay, so if there is no agreement, so either you have to go with what his, or you have to go according to what the shark shabashuk.
It's not on the person who's hiring, if he doesn't make up the price, to know when you're hiring this guy that his rate is always $150 an hour?
There's many electricians. Everyone has a different price. How am I supposed to know what your price is? You should tell me. One of the most difficult professions, maybe the most difficult by far profession to ever really get a price beforehand is medicine. No doctor gives you a call beforehand. And really, he's a worker like any other worker. And they give you a good charge. And when your insurance only covers X percent of it, then they send you a bill and they want now... I just got today, my kid needed a sling. So I got today about $438, and that's not including the hospital charge. That's just the doctor that saw him for 2 minutes, right? You don't get a chance to negotiate beforehand. Show me the price. So I'm hoping Cross will come back on the second chance and they'll cover it. But a sling is recently, whatever it is. So you never get a quote on that.
The insurance companies have an allowable amount.
Right.
They have a
schedule. If they cover. But once they say your thing doesn't cover you, then they can take me for a ride, right? So I will go beforehand. You know, what are your rates? Okay, let's leave that alone. So somehow or other, you have to have a way to establish what the price is. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to do this mitzvah. Sometimes what happens, and I've seen this, is that, whether it be the babysitter, whether it be the electrician or anyone else, gives you a bill. And it's $438, we just now said. And you say, okay, it's okay if I just give you $400. $425, that's what I have right here. So the person will almost inevitably say, yeah, okay, sheepishly. Because really they don't want. What are they supposed to do? They want to at least get their $400. They don't want to fight with their boss. They want to get the next job as well. But there's not a mechila of Lev Shali. So anytime you do that and you say, you're trying to slash off a little bit, you say, it's okay but $400. You just say, just slice off a little bit. It's to me, it's not a mechila b'leiv shalem, and it's a very serious question whether that's kosher. I wouldn't eat that kind of meat.
Is that in general, any time a person asks someone for a discount, the person never really wants to get it?
That's beforehand. You don't have to sell it to me, right? So how much is this safer over here? You want $18 for it? How about 15, 16? Okay, fine, I'll give you 10% off your nice issue buffer, right? So you don't want to sell it to me, don't sell it to me, right? But over here, I got you over the barrel already. I already did the work, right? I want to get paid. I mean, you have me over the barrel then. And I want $438, that's what my time is. But you want to pay me just $400? What kind of business is that? But I am not going to say boo, and I say, okay, right? It's not a really mechila. You already owe me the money. When I haggle beforehand, it's negotiable. You could negotiate beforehand and you could say no, or you could say yes. No one's over any barrels.
The service is rendered. You can't take back the service.
Right, and I want to get paid. So I got to say yes. I mean, I could say no, and I could make a big fight about it, and it'll probably be the last time I ever get a job from this guy. Therefore, I feel forced into it. Okay, that's my little 2 cents. The Gemara says enough Kufya Beis, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Two halachas, we're going to focus more on the second. Tanur Rabbanan, lo solim pulo sachar, yachal afilu loy tavai, tamu loymar itcha l'daitchal. Lo solim pulo sachar itcha, the Beis is darshaning to mean, itcha, that's from your side that's holding it back. Itcha, it's your prerogative, it's your choice not to pay, right? But when it's not yours, I'm ready to pay him. Sometimes they're just a guy at the end of the day, he just leaves. He wants to get home more. He'll worry about his check next week. Okay, if he's not coming to me, I don't have to run after him. But if he's ready to get paid, then I can't hold it back. The Chavetz Chaim says on that even if he's not tovei and say, please pay me, but he just says, okay, boss, job done, right? I cleared all the snow over here. Isn't it nice? What he's trying to tell you is, could you please pay me now? But he's saying it in nicer terms, that he doesn't have that outrightness to be able to say that. When he reports that mission accomplished, he's asking for pay. But if he doesn't even do that, he just clears the snow and disappears. Okay, so next time I see him, I'll pay him. But right now, I'm not mechuyev. Yochal afilu ein lo, tamu loymer itcha shiyesh itcha. A second drasha we make for the same word itcha is... Itcha, when you have it in your hands, don't hold it back. But if it's not itcha, you don't even have the wherewithal to pay him right now, then you don't have to pay him. So this is the issue now he takes up. What are the guidelines of having it available? So if I actually have ready the money in my pocket, I say, no, I'm not going to pay you. That, of course, is the classic, you know, rishus, the aveira. What happens if I don't have it, but it's accessible? I could get it if I would make the effort. So the Sefer Chinuch, which he brings down, says, these are the words the Sefer Chinuch says, Masha amush eno seichel eivra elu v'shtavu ha-sachar, avol lo tavoy, o she'en lo klum, or if the Baal HaBayis doesn't have any money, or enough money, she'yifra lo eno eivra, so chiv ha-kazev elu v'sheyesh lo v'beso, the chiv is only when you have it and you're holding it back, o she'yachol l'fora, or I have some way in which I'm able to arrange to pay him. Those are the words of the Chinuch that the Chavos Chaim wonders what exactly he means. What is that coming to include? Either I have it, b'beso, or I can in some other way besides having it, I could get it, and I could pay him. But if it's going to cause me a significant loss, for instance, I have a store, and I sell things I have a certain price. Now, if I sell everything out quickly at half price, I'll be able to liquidate, right, and raise the cash. But that the Torah doesn't expect me to do. And if I'm selling things on a regular rate, it takes a while to be able to put together that much cash. So that's what he's saying over the Sefer Chinuch. You're not expected to be Ya'abed Harbi Mishalo, that you should start now slashing prices and taking losses in order to be able to raise the cash. That's not money that you have. That's losing money in order to be able to pay him. That you're not going to do. L'chiyav ha'kosav ha'vazeh, l'fiyadayva, that's Bistavar to the Chinuch. When we come back home, the Chinuch concludes, Roy l'chol ben das, anyone that's sensible and responsible, Leos a keseb b'yado, the person should make sure he has arrangements to have the money in his hands, tear him yiskor pail before you go out and hire. Just like before you borrow money, you have to really have some kind of a reasonable plan how you're going to pay it back, just to borrow and hope for the best. That's very nice with the lender's money. That's not very nice, right? Borrow and say, okay, give me 6 months. In the course of my work that I do, I should be in 6 months be able to put away enough to pay you back. That's fine. But no plan, no mahalach. Let's love Russia, love Yishalim. There's no mahalach to how to pay. So same thing also over here. When you're hiring someone, you're committing to be able to pay them at the end of whatever term of service there is. So you have to have that money in your hands before you hire him, or a good approach to how you're going to get the money by the time, whether it's a day or a week or a month or whatever, that the payment is going to be due, that you're going to have that plan. Otherwise, it's being irresponsible. Chavos Chaim comments on that, a couple of comments, each one I just underlined. First of all, Chayav Lifrot Magbeya Godel Kedei Lefrei Lepayalov. What happens if I have a $20 bill, and I hire this girl to babysit for an hour, it's only $6. I say, I only have a 20, do you have change? She's a bank, she's a little girl, right? So it's my job to come home with change and say, here's your $6, my dear, right? But if I only have a 20, sorry, I'm not going to pay you. So, mister, why didn't you get change before you came home? Yes, okay, I understand. And she can't say nothing, right? That's Lo Sasha, Lo Sigs, all the rest of these kind of things. So that's a chiyuv on you to be able to change that 20 before you come home, so you should be able to have the $6 to pay her. Number one. Number two, Vagam Ligvos Moment Shehifkaro Shehilve Balabayas Ubozman Gviosai. If I have money that's not in my hands, but I could easily get it, I put it as, a simple picadain. I put it by someone that's going to lock it up in his safe. So anytime I want, I could go over to his safe or safety deposit box and take out that money and pay him. So I have the money accessible. It's just locked up in a safe place. But likewise, if I have it out on loan and it's already due and available to me to collect, if I just call up the guy that borrowed me, hey, uncle, I need that money. I say, sure, no problem. What do you need it for? To pay the guys? Oh, sure, I'll be right over. Right? So then you have to go and collect it. The most common case that we have of that is bank accounts. A bank account is on deposit, is actually a loan to the bank, but it's ready for them anytime you walk in and show your ID, you could withdraw from you whatever you have over there on deposit. So I have that money available. I just have to make the effort of going to the bank and withdrawing it, or using an ATM or whatever you want to do, right? And get out the money and pay them. Now we're talking over here if it's a cash kind of basis, if it's a check, so you could just write a check. If it's a credit card, whatever the understanding of the particular type of transaction is, how you pay people, you know, the more professional companies, they're very happy with credit cards. It's more instant payment than checks, and no one wants cash. You know, cash, you know, get lost somewhere in the driver's hands or something. They'd rather have it go right away onto their bookkeeping when it's a credit card. They're very happy with that. Even if they have to pay a percent for it, that's cost of doing business. But with a little girl, she doesn't want a credit card and she doesn't want a check. She wants $6, cash, green bills. So then you have to go to the bank and get that change. If a person is in that situation that he sells things, then sell them up. Don't have to slash prices, but you have to make the effort and try to sell a bunch of stuff.
Is giving a check a key amount?
If that was the understanding when I hired you, most salaried workers, for instance, are paid by check every week or 2 weeks, whatever their system is. They pick up a paycheck. And that's how they're going to pay. So if that was the understanding from the beginning, so that's the mode of payment that's being used. You know, the cleaners, you know, each you know, the gardener, you know, you have to know who you're dealing with. If it's a cash business, even just air up without any kind of tax evasion, it's just straight. There's certain things that those kind of workers want cash. There's a certain kind of, whatever, whatever the mode of. But that's the understanding of Tchila, which is usually just the, unless it's spoken, otherwise it's a standard of particular types of industries. He goes on and says that possibly you even have to borrow the money if you have that readily available to borrow from. A person might have a line of credit or take money from his credit card.
Why is that possibly? And why is it Epsher? Why is it not? Sure.
Well, because that's not itcha. It's not your money that you have.
But you put that guy.
No. If I have money in the bank that I can withdraw, that's my money.
But by hiring that guy without having the money to pay him, you just basically took a loan from. You forced him into the loan.
Let's say I had a plan and it didn't work. I was expecting, you know, something else was going to pay me something that they owed me, and it didn't work. So now I say, I'm really sorry. I was expecting to have this money and didn't pan out. And now you did this job. I hope I'll be able to get the money by tomorrow, by next week. Right now I don't have the money, so the law of itcha tells you you're not mechuyev. So I could go and shaf the geld, as I say, as though people create money. That's what shafing geld means. People like to create money. I mean, who was that? Midas or Archimedes, whoever would like to create money. I could go shaf some geld. You have to go create it. So itcha is not when you have to create it; it's when you already have it. So pashtus is not like that. The Pesach Yeshuv and Shulchan Aruch is all in Shemesh Lamentes and Chayesh Mesh, but brings down for the Shulchan Aruch Rav that quotes from the Rizal that it's a midas chasidus to borrow money to be able to pay your workers, but it's not a din. He clears back and forth on this, and one of the bakaras he brings is that chinuch we saw oshiyachol lefara even if you don't have it. He also cites Rashi we had all the very beginning of the series. Rashi says in Chumash that why do you have the daytime or the nighttime? Shenosna teres man the balabai is ona a day or night levakesh mos to go and ask for money. Levakesh mos seems to be that you're going to even ask, hey, can you give me some money to pay my workers? Go find a friend that will lend it to you. He says that might be what Rashi means. Maybe you could say it otherwise means sell something and that way get hold of the money. And the last point that he makes on halachic sense over here, as far as this topic goes, is that, and this is a favorite shatosis over there in the sugya, is that even if there's a tircha involved, I'm very busy right now, I have 25 meetings going on, right? This takes priority. Say, everyone, I have to take care of something for a few minutes, I'll be right back, and go make sure you get your pay your workers. Shatosis says over there that if you're not mechuyev in all these mitzvahs of Lo Solon and Yom Hadin Ha'Scharo, so then you could be putter from Baal Tishaya if there's a tircha that's involved. But when you are mechuyev, that's mashmah, then you'll be chayev even when there's a tircha. And then to finish this off, the Chafetz Chaim brings down a story from the Gemara and Shabbos, a famous story. You probably all know it. And he has a kasha, he has two kashas for this story. The story I've quoted over here, the whole long story. What? The famous story about a worker that was working for a couple of years by the bus, and he said, "On Yom Kippur, I want to go home to my family. Please pay me." I said, "Sorry, don't got no money." This guy was an enormously wealthy man. And the worker said, "Okay, fine, have a good Yom Tov," and he left. After Yom Tov was over, the Balabas came to visit him, and he said, What do you think when I told you I don't have any money? So your land, I thought maybe you took a lien on it, and your this, maybe you sold it away, your livestock, and this, maybe each thing, well, it was Daniel Gavsko said, each thing, maybe it was something about it. And finally, what about everything in my house? It's worth so much things. But maybe you just mocked the Shevet Shemesh when I made all the Hekdesh. I said, you're right, that's exactly what happened. And I made everything Hekdesh, and afterwards I found a Hatara Sadarim on that, and that's why I now came to pay you over here. But since you were Don Lagim Kavskos, I was Don Lagim. So Chavos Chaim asked on this kasha, on this story, how is it that he was Makdash originally Shem Shemayim? And how is it that he took a Mashgain and he took all these extra obligations on? You have to pay your worker. What was his hetra to do all these kinds of things? And the whole story is Mashgain that this Yid was also an Erlich Yid. And by the way, the Chassam Sefer brings down from Maser, from the Ga'inim, that worker was Rabbi Akiva in his first stage of life when he was on Marz. And the Balbas was Hurkanus of Via Rabbi Yezer ben Hurkanus. So, and the whole story through, he was seemed to be doing, how could he do this? He asked as a kasha. So he said, maybe he didn't, it was a day beforehand, but even so, how can you be Magdash and make it now? You're setting yourself up that you won't be able to pay him. And he said, maybe it was an Anus. He doesn't really have a good mahalo for that. I want to say a very simple taich. This, the work over here, the way the Gemara says, that Ma'isa ba'adam echad sheyaru megalel le'alyav, v'nisgreitz ba'ala ba'is echad b'darum, shalosh shalom, erev yom kippur amalav, tein li skari v'elef v'ezer es ishti yavonai. He was working there for 3 years. Last erev yom kippur, he didn't go home. The year before erev yom kippur, he didn't come home. All of a sudden now, he comes over to Balabas and says, it's erev yom kippur, I'd like to go home. This is my family, I haven't seen them for 3 years. Balabas said, really? Now, all of a sudden? I wasn't expecting this. I thought you'd stay at least until, I don't know, after Yom Kippur, after Sukkot, after Hanukkah, maybe another year, maybe another 2 years. There was no pre-warning over here. So then you can't ask Akasha, why don't you have money on hand ready to pay? There was no clear end of term of service. You're going to work for me as long as you want to work. Whenever you want to leave, you could leave. Erev Yom Kippur, all of a sudden, I pop on you. I want to leave now. Okay, you're welcome to leave, but I don't have the money together yet. So there's no Akasha, but why don't I have the money? Then the question is, but I do have all these things and these things and these things. That's what he was telling the guy. Of course, you don't.
Excuse me?
Why
was he paying for 3 years? What took him so long to pay?
It, you know, because he didn't finish job yet. You have to pay him when your term of service is over. So if I made up Metchil, I'm going to pay every week or every 2 weeks, then that's what I do. But otherwise, Ain Skiris Mishalav is Elav Asaif. If I hire you for a year, I have to pay you at the end of a year. I don't have to pay you before that.
But if he knows it's going to end in 3 years...
If they didn't set any time. So you could work here as long as you want. So if you wanted to work here for 5 years, so then you'll collect 5 years' worth of... But you imagine a couple of years' worth of salary is going to be a sizable amount. So when you want to leave, you'll leave. But then you got to give me a 2 weeks' notice to be able to pull it all together. Here he just popped it on him. Here, if you give him the money, he says, guess what? Shalom Aleichem, say Shalom, I'm leaving today. Really? I need some time to pull it together. So that's why over here he was caught.
What kind of arrangement is this? What kind of guy is he? Knows he's working for
while he's over here, over here, he's living for free.
So many years, he does have any money for free.
Wait. While he's over here, he has free room and board, and he's working on the farm, and he has no problems. Well, he's going to save up his money. He's going to then take it to his wife. Right? People came to America, and after they saved enough money, they would bring over their kid there, the rest of their family. Right? So they're saving it up. So at the end, he wants to collect his money. But there wasn't a pre-warning, that's why there's no cash over here, why he didn't have the money. But... everything.